Hi, welcome to Impact Africa podcast series on Faith Flows Radio and podcast. My name is Vanessa Richard, and I'm happy to be back in this episode of the podcast. So I have with me today Mirabel Mora. Mora was a panelist at the 2019 and 2020 Social Enterprise World Forum, where she spoke on innovation in youth engagement and building youth movement. Glad to have you chat with me today, Mara.
Thank you super, super duper much, Vanessa. It's super good to be here. And it's also nice to actually finally to see or hear, you know, the person who is always on radio. And I'm like, I love your voice. It's super good.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for the compliment. All right. So, Mirabel, we're talking about amplifying youth voices for change. And that's one thing that I believe you have been trying to do for the past 5 years now, if I'm not mistaken, right? But I just want to ask, when you're talking to a large audience now, what should people expect when they hear that you're trying to amplify youth voices for change, especially on the African continent?
When someone hears it, I think the message that I want them to see in their head and in their hearts is that I'm just trying to encourage people and support young people to be much more vocal about the stuff that they're doing, no matter how small or very tiny they feel like it is. Like you have, okay, I know you have an idea, but just insane, you have no idea how super beautiful and awesome it feels like when, you know, you are trying to do something, you're trying to make a small impact where you are, and then some other person notices that you're doing something and they're like, oh my God, this is super cool. And, you know, just that validation makes you feel like, oh, I mean, if someone is telling me that this thing I'm doing is cool, then it must be cool. And then I need to do some more. So amplifying the work that young people do, amplifying their voices, is it's literally what it means, promoting what they do and making them feel validated that they matter and what they do matter.
Okay. Now, several things have been raised, several initiatives or several strategies have been deployed to actually bring about the change that the African continent needs, because Africa has a lot to offer to the world. And for Africa to offer that, it needs a lot of rebranding or overhauling of certain things. Now, you believe so much in storytelling, but I want to understand, how is that going to contribute in bringing the change that Africa actually needs?
I was listening to someone over the air, literally I was listening to Grace Ihejemaizu over the radio some months ago, and she said, we need good role models. We need good influences. We need other young people could look up to and say, if Okun can do this, if Hadiza can do this, then it's possible. That's the power that storytelling can have on anyone. We are all attracted to stories, whether it is Twitter dragging somebody because of one story or the other. We're all attracted to stories, and stories, what you hear, what you feed yourself with, what I feed myself with, has a very huge impact on me. And that also has a huge impact on anyone else. So the stories that we hear, just like they say, your friends can make or mar you, the stories that you hear literally can make or mar you. By the time you hear that, for example, I was reading Chimamanda when I was in secondary school. I read Chimamanda Adichie's Purple Hibiscus, course, and I was like, oh my God, for someone's first novel, she did this amazingly well. How many heads does she have? It's not the same head she has with me. So if she can do this, then I can do this too. So, you know, I picked up that positive energy. And then only a few days ago, I listened to her interview again, like many years later, with Ipka. And she was like, Purple Hibiscus was not her first novel. Like, the first novel she wrote was really terrible. And I was like, ah, inside life. But I mean, that story she told really made me feel like, yeah, I mean, everyone just portrays their success stories, but there are other stories of failures. So she sharing that story made me feel like, yeah, indeed. Before she got to that Zen moment, there were so many other downhill moment. So that's how much stories can really influence and impact your life.
Okay. Now, part of storytelling involves writing. Mm-hmm. And I was watching one of the interviews you granted on We Are the World. And I recall you saying that writing can be a tool for advocacy and creating awareness. Mm-hmm. Right. We have a lot of issues on the African continent that some persons have decided to go the way of violence to achieve or to get sorted out. Now, where does writing come in to advocate for those things to be done the right way?
It comes in everywhere. I mean, let's everywhere, whether it's traditional media like newspapers or hard copy books people write. Or even on Twitter, where violence, not even violence, Twitter violence is prevalent. The things people write on Twitter, it's about the threats people create. That's powerful because now we are sharing things super quickly. And so for the fact that your stuff can go viral, that means we should all be cautious of what we're writing. But yeah, people writing factual things actually online, whether it's on Instagram, whether it's on Medium, whether it's via a blog, or even taking it offline to much more traditional means of books and newspapers. You know, factually checking everything we're writing, interviewing people, collecting data, very factual data from the right authority sites and right places as well. The place of writing cannot be overemphasized. It's both is used for both bad gander and also good writing of the wrongs. So yeah, writing it can be overemphasized. It can be used for anything, bad, good. Just depends on what we want to use it for.
Okay, I really would love for you to share personal and practical experiences of the several writing, because from what I've read about you, the Blank Papers Media was started way back in 2016.
Correct.
So if you can tell us some personal experiences or some practical things that the writings that you have written and the ones that the young people that you've worked with so far, what sort of change have they brought in? What narrative have they changed? If you can tell us some of that.
Oh, super cool. Let me start with this example of a friend I have in Ghana. I think it was 2017. She was going to run this small. So literally what I currently do on Blank Papers is to interview people or to write about what they're doing and also write about how people can support what they're doing. And there was this friend of mine who was in Ghana, and then she wrote about, I interviewed her and she said she wanted to raise some funds for autistic kids. And then I was like, oh, that's super good. Then I interviewed her and then I put it on Blank Papers. And then suddenly some folks from the US reached out and said, you know, we think this person is doing a fine work. We'd love to support her with XYZ number of books. How can we get in touch with her? And then I was like, Jesus, that's so amazing. I mean, I felt like, oh my God. Those kind of feelings were super, super, super good for me. And, you know, I really did like that. And then there's also another guy, Rex, I think it's Rex Posters, that I interviewed. He's a graphic designer guy. He's a movie poster guy. And then I told his story online. And then, you know, someone else I didn't know later on said, I met this person in another state far away up north. The person says, you know, this story of Rex really, really touched me to do something better. And then it's just interviewing so many people and, you know, reading other people's comments like, Funfegi, I didn't know that this is what happened to you. I'm really proud of you and your story has made me want to put in more effort into what I'm doing. I mean, people just seem to get very inspired by what some other young person is doing. And it also helps to push the market forward.
All right. Before I come down to asking you the genesis of the Blank Papers, how it started, what inspired it, how far it's come and all that, there's something you spoke about, was in 2020 or 2019, where you spoke on innovation and youth engagement. Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of persons say that for you to achieve a lot of things, dialogue is very important, or engaging the persons you want to see bring this change is very important. But another thing is, how do you bring about this change? How do you engage them to make or to correct the wrongs that have already been made, or to bring about the change you want them to bring about? So I'd like you to talk about this innovation in youth engagement. How best, because the youths are the future, right? How best can young people in Africa begin to engage so as to see that change that we want to see, that Africa wants to see?
I don't know if you know T.Y. Bello. I mean, most of us in Nigeria, also in a Christian circle, know T.Y. Bello.
And yeah, we do.
She has this new song called Africa Awake, or rather this new album called Africa Awake. And it's just brilliant. She's spreading this message that Africa, it's your time to shine, and Africa, it's your time to rise. It is our time. But we really need to understand as young people that, yes, we have youthful exuberance. We want things to happen our way. We want things to go very fast. We want to see change. We want to see A spiral into B, C, D, E, F, G. But we also need to understand that when we plant a seed, it takes time. It takes time for the seed to grow, and things happen before the seed grows. The seed needs sunshine, it needs rain. And if the rain doesn't come, you know, our seed probably would die, but we have to find another way to water it without the rain. But if the sun doesn't come out, then we still have to be patient for the sun to come out. And that happens in the things that we try to do, the projects that we try to do. Many times things don't go as we plan. It really does hurt. But you think that maybe an idea you have can change the universe, can change the world, and you expect that it makes sense. And whoever listens to you should also think the same way and have the same perspective with you. But it doesn't always work that way. The change that people have made in times past always came from consistent efforts from the past. They made and made and made efforts in the small things that looked like just small pebbles in a wide ocean. They just kept putting those small pebbles onto the belt into a huge pile of rocks. So whatever we're doing, we just need to be consistent at it. Whatever idea or notion we have, we need to be consistent at it, whether it's engaging people and wanting them to think about a certain way that, you shouldn't, female genital mutilation is wrong. So many people have come from a very long lineage that FGM is good, but trying to change that notion that it's wrong would take a long process. So it's important that in whatever you do, you just keep going, being consistent at it. And then, you know, we only live once. And if you don't try the crazy ideas you have, you would live a life of what if, what would have happened if I did this, but I didn't do it. So you keep doing things and just stay consistent at it. And if it doesn't work, find a new way, or maybe ditch it if it's not worth it. But consistency is key in continuously bringing change.
Is there a better way to engage well? Why do I ask? Because we have seen cases in Africa, and this is mostly undertaken by young people when they feel dissatisfied about something. They're not too patient to even want to dialogue or talk. The next approach is to, let's begin to protest. Let's begin to, let's take up arms. We are dissatisfied and we can't bear this anymore. Is there a better way to go about this? Now, the reason why I'm asking is because we're trying to amplify our youth voices because for the change that we need. Is there a better way to go about making your demands known?
Before someone comes out to protest, I mean, there must have been different, there must have been a ton of things they tried to do in the past. I believe before they came out to protest, it must have been they're protesting for something that happened, or it is too much now. They can't talk, won't solve it. Maybe they've talked and talked and talked about it for years and nothing happened. So everyone is at their wit's end. So they just took up arms to protest. Except in point of extremism, then, that people don't even dialogue about things first before they take up arms or they go to protest. And also we are, to the best of my understanding, and anyone could correct me if I'm wrong, but we're all entitled, by law, we are all, what's the right word? It's our right to peacefully protest for something, so long as it's peaceful and there's no violence in it. So it's people's rights to protest after they've seen something they're dissatisfied with for so long and tried to correct it, but no one is listening. Just like you have so many strikes, NNPC strike, Nubank strike, ASU strike. I feel like these people have been talking for years without any answer. So strike is their own method of protest. But yes, we should all go through that dialogue first before protesting. And sometimes, many times, the protests yield results so long as they are peaceful. Peaceful.
Okay. Now, let's talk about blank papers. What inspired it? What made you decide to, okay, let me start this? We want to hear the background, the genesis of everything.
We bless God, oh, Papa God. The journey, yeah. I used to have one blog like that. It's just a blog spot where I wrote things. And then I also studied English and literary studies. And then I started doing digital marketing for someone. I think that was 2016. And, you know, it was like different things came to the formation of blank papers. But when the idea to start a website came, it was just so that I could put up my stories, put up the things that I wrote, what I was fiction, you know, bring my friends to just, do you write poetry? Just come and republish your thing on blank papers, or let's be going. And that's really how it happened. And just an idea that I had no idea would spiral into something else and teach me a lot and make me meet so many people. So yes, I was afraid, would this thing last for 3 months? Would I be able to sustain it for 6 months? How many people would even contribute, Seth? How many people would I even find to give me articles? And as God would have it, I was pretty consistent at it and it grew with time. And that's really the genesis. And I made new friends in the social space and the development space. So that really influenced the type of writing I now started writing, and also influenced the kind of writing that I wanted to see and read on blank papers. So that's how it spiraled from just fiction into more into serious societal stuff.
Okay. So far, what's the progress like?
So far, you know, it's been 2016 to 2021. That's four years and some 6 months beyond what I thought I could sustain it. Yes. And so far we've had classes and also partnerships, and also released the Z-Axis magazine that came out in 2020, and also had a giveaway contest with Bridge Connect Africa Initiative. And, you know, we were trying to spread the stories of young people who had failed. People don't share their stories of failure. So we found young people from Nigeria, Mozambique, Nigerians in the diaspora. Asked them, people admire you, yeah? But you failed. Tell us how you failed and what made you fail. And that's what we're trying to do with C-Axis Magazine, to remind young people that they are not alone in their journeys towards success and change-making journeys. And it's been a powerful experiences then, you know, just meeting people just wanting to go into a new country, and then someone saying, hey, I read your stuff. And I'm like, ah, Baba, really? I did Nigeria. You mean you read my stuff in this other country? So you've read other people's stuff. So it connects people together, which is why I like blank papers. And it's been growing, I mean, beyond what I expected.
Okay, this is still Impact Africa podcast series on Faith Flows Radio and podcast, right? Faith Flows is an international non-profit organization, and we are so much interested in the advancement of Africa. And we believe that this can be achieved with young people, right? A young person out there who is desiring to change the narrative in his community, in her community, he wants to make change. Where does this person start?
You start with yourself. You can't give someone what you don't have. You can't try to make some other person a good person if you personally are not a good person yourself. I mean, yeah, bad people do make people. It's a complex thing, but yeah, you can't give what you don't have. And you first have to start with yourself. Do you believe in what you're fighting for, or just doing what you're doing because of clout? how long do you think you can fight for it? Would you be a Judas? Would you betray yourself when things get tough? First place to start with is ask yourself many questions if what you're into is something you really want to be into. And then secondly, find a group of people. It's not a competition, or stop seeing so many things as a competition, except you're in a business. But if you want to bring in change, you have to find people to collaborate with. You have to find a network of people. People, iron sharpens iron. So find people who are in the same circle as you are. Thirdly, I tell people learn. I don't know why people don't really want to take the time to sit down and be an apprentice, in quotes. Sit down with people who have already made it. You know, ask them questions. Tell them, okay, I want to learn XYZ. Can I work here for XYZ? Can I volunteer here for XYZ amount of time while I learn this? Some people are good at rushing into, there's no one size fits all system for it. Some people are good at rushing into things and then they make mistakes and learn from it. Others are more of, they learn from other people and then they start out their own, but they put in their own uniqueness into whatever it is that they're doing. So yes, if you're trying to make a change, start first from yourself, then find a community of people who are like-minded and believe in what you're doing. Thirdly, learn from a lot of people. Fourthly, believe in God. But that God should even be number one. Should be number one. Believe in God and also have that confidence. There's something really powerful about having confidence in something you're doing. Even if it's a stupid idea, your confidence can just rub up on someone and the person begins to believe that, yeah, this stupid idea is a good one. But yeah, I'm not saying your idea is stupid. I'm just saying, just have confidence in the things that you do.
Okay. Well, that's powerful. Another thing for young people is this issue of fear and the fear of the unknown. This thing, if I try this, if I venture into this, are you sure I'm not going to fail? Right. And I know that at a point in your life, you must have been there. Right. So how were you able to conquer that fear of the unknown? Fear of I might fail, fear of this might not really work. How are you able to conquer it?
I still have fear every day, like different things I'm afraid of. I literally, maybe almost every week, there's one new thing I'm afraid of getting. What if this thing doesn't? What if it's not? What if it's not? What if it's not what I want? Or what? Like, what if it doesn't end up being like how I expected it to be? Of course, we all have fears. Many of us have fears. Well, one of my friends, Alice, she taught me that you would always have fears, but then until you take action, your fears just make you inactive. My advice is take action. Don't remain stagnant. The fear will usually quite often be there. And a quote I give myself is that God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That's actually a Bible scripture from 2 Timothy 1:7. I believe it's 2 Timothy 1:7. Yes.
Yeah, it is. Okay. All right. So this is more like a charge. I think everyone listening should maybe pay a visit to the Holy Bible and actually dig out this particular verse and begin to run with it. That's one of the best ways to conquer fear, right? So before I let you go, what word would you like to say to that young person listening to you, that aspiring change maker out there, that person with a dream to change the fortune of Africa? What is your word for them?
You will definitely be shocked by how your future would be if you do the things that are laid in your heart to do, even if they seem impossible. I think it was 2014 or 15 while I was 7 in Feka. I used to be angry with God lovingly and secretly in my heart. I used to tell God that, hi, God, how would you be giving me this kind of dreams and this kind of ideas and this kind of things that just sound so impossible? Like, Baba, why me? Now, I love you, but these things that are in my heart to do, things that are laid in my spirit, is too much, Joe. I can't do it. Me, I'm tired, dude. Thank you for giving it to me. I'm tired, but Baba God, like, you know, I used to have those kind of conversations in my heart. But then one way or the other, I made an attempt to do certain things, and the attempts were successful. And that's why I believe that if God sends you on a mission, he will always give you transport money. Mm-hmm. So that's my word or my advice for you. If there are things that are leading your hearts to do, they seem impossible, yeah, but just take the first step that seems reasonable to you. It sounds so cliche, but you literally see how things unfurl. You'll probably meet people, or people will meet you halfway. Things would work nicely. Don't forget, things will also fail. Nobody said you won't fail. Nobody promised you won't fail. But yeah, things will meet you halfway.
Okay. All right. I believe that's a charge to you today. So I think the thing is, attempt whatever has been laid in your heart. Attempt. You will never know the other side if you do not attempt to go there, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, this is Impact Africa podcast series on Faith Flows Radio and Podcast. This is largely by Faith Flows, yes. And I've been talking to Mirabel Mora, a social entrepreneur and the founder of Blank Purpose Media, a digital publishing platform. Mora was a panelist at the 2019 and 2020 Social Enterprise World Forum, and she spoke largely on innovation in youth engagement and building youth movement. She's also a recipient of several awards, which include her Network Woman of the Future Award. Yeah, and she takes seriously the idea of leadership and personal development. And that's one of the things you said that caught me. So people should sit down and be an apprentice for themselves.
Absolutely.
All right, Mirabel, I think I'm going to have to let you go at this point in time. So what do you say to Faith Flows as you leave?
I love you guys. Like, just blowing kisses in the air right now. I hope people are feeling it, literally feel it. Thank you so much for inspiring a ton of young people and for playing your part in this great world of ours and with the things happening around us. Thank you so much for this beacon of hope you bring, blowing your kisses. God bless you all. And you're amazing and awesome.
Okay. So thank you very much, Mirabel. Thank you. I really appreciate and Faithfulness appreciate you coming to have this chat on this podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me too. Thank you. Thank you, Shunda. Gracias. Tia Bunga. Medase. It has finished.
Okay, thank you very much. I know that everything you just said is just to say thank you.
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. So let's do this again on the next episode. But whatever you're learning from this episode, run with it. That's the only way you can see the change that you want, right? My name is Vanessa Richard, and this is Impact Africa podcast series on Faith Flows Radio and Podcast, right? I'll see you again on the next episode. Bye.
Faith Flows is a nonprofit Christian organization. Support us today at faithflows.org/donate.